Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend. Looking forward to the new week ahead. Wow, August is moving along here, RT. You notice that?
It's spooky.
It is kind of. I mean, it's already the 12th.
I don't know how it happens, but it seems to happen every single year.
That it just comes by?
Just goes. It's summer. Summer, I believe, is about 3 weeks long.
It does feel that way sometimes.
Yeah. So
I have a significant date on the calendar coming up.
You do?
Yes, this Thursday, the 15th,
yeah,
is my younger sister's birthday.
Hey!
And every year on the 15th of August, my hay fever acts up. So I've blamed her every year for that. So.
Well, but you never forget her birthday, I suppose.
Well, no, but I send her a note and just talk about how miserable I am and wish she could share in that. So
awesome.
Say, you know, maybe your birthday, or if you're just new to this station, we'd love to have you check in with us, because this week we have designated not Hay Fever Awareness Week, but although we probably could, but New Friends Week here at Faith Radio.
Yes, yes.
And we know that, you know, every day there are new people listening to the station. If you're just recently discovered Faith Radio, we want to just say hi and let you know that on our website, a couple opportunities for you. There's a... Actually, you don't have to be a new friend, but there's a listener survey on there which you could take. We'd love to have you just, you know, fill out, I think it's, what, 7-8 questions or something.
Yeah, I looked at it and I thought I could even do it.
Really? I don't know if there's anything in there specifically about connecting faith. If there's a comment section, you could add comments there. How compelling it is, and fascinating or something. But if you're a new friend of the ministry, go to our website, it's myfaithradio.com. And we'll send you some resources, some things to help you grow in your faith and maybe help you share your faith. And just want to say, hey, glad to have you on board. And again, you can take that listener survey and see about what's happening in the ministry. So check it out, myfaithradio.com. And welcome aboard. We're going to talk about new friends heading off to college. Now, when you came to now the University of Northwestern St. Paul, back in the day,
yeah,
we knew it as Northwestern College. You came, you know, from the prairies of eastern Montana. Did you have friends here awaiting your arrival?
No, I did not. Okay. It was a very emotionally taxing time, actually, because I did not know a soul, and I was scared. I was frightened.
Hmm. We are going to address your concerns today. So,
okay.
You're sad to say you're still in that category. No, you've calmed down quite a bit.
Thank you.
Neil Stavem here, Ryan Thomas there, Grace Reif's on the phone. And let me introduce my guest who will put some sanity to this program so far. Derek Mellaby joins us today. He's been directing the College Transition Initiative since it began in 2005. That's a resource of the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. And their objective is to create space for students, parents, and youth workers to wrestle with deeper questions regarding higher education. And some of the questions, you know, we're going to spend a little time talking about, but big questions that we have to address. Really, it doesn't matter if you're a college student or not. I think you want to address this. What kind of person do you want to be? What do you believe? With whom do you surround yourself? And why are you going to college? Some of those things. We're going to get into that. Derek has a degree from Bloomsburg University and Geneva College. And he's co-authored the book, The Outrageous Idea of Academic Faithfulness. And he also wrote Make College Count, A Faithful Guide to Life and Learning, which came out here just a couple of years ago from Baker Books. And we are happy to welcome Derek Mellaby to the broadcast. Derek, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Neil. Thanks for having me. I was going to do some kind of fake sneeze.
Okay.
I didn't know
all
how
right,
that
well,
would come that's... off. And then you said I was going to bring sanity to the program,
okay.
So I got nervous.
Okay. Well, you know, sanity is loosely defined here. So just it, you know, feel free at any point. Tell me a little bit about the. I mean, Some of us remember, you know, that Walt Mueller has been around for a number of years working with the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. But the College Transition Initiative is something fairly recent, and I'm interested in how that came about and maybe your passion for it. Is this something that came out of your college transition experience?
Yeah, for the listeners that may not know, CPYU started, it's in its 30th year, so this year we celebrate 30 years. Walt Mueller started it. He was a youth pastor at the time, and his passion was helping youth workers and parents understand their vocation as cross-cultural missionaries. That in order to work with youth, in order to work with teens, you had to see yourself. The paradigm we needed to use was that we are cross-cultural missionaries, the same way we would take the gospel to foreign cultures, to foreign countries. He wanted to take those missiological principles and apply them to raising a family and working with youth and trying to help them understand and embrace their faith. And so Walt has been doing that for 30 years now, and he's been doing research, writing, and speaking. And during those years, you know, some themes have crept up, and he wanted to investigate issues a little bit more intentionally, a little bit more thoroughly. And so in 2005, we had had a relationship before this, but in 2005, he invited me to come on staff. I had been doing college ministry in the area where his office was, and he was a mentor to me, and he asked me to come on staff to just think more deeply about this transition from high school to college. You know, he thought CPYU was uniquely positioned to provide resources for parents and students and educators so that they would be more prepared, but spiritually prepared for life after high school. And that's how my work, the College Transition Initiative, began.
You know, you mentioned the word cross-cultural missionary, and it does seem like, you know, for those of us that it's been a long time since we've been on a college or university campus, I mean, it really is in many ways a different culture, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and that's what really drove me. I had a great experience as a college student. I was very fortunate. It's interesting. I never really thought of my college experience looking the way it did, but I went to college at Bloomsburg University to play basketball, basically. And when I got there, I knew I wanted my faith to make a difference in my life, but I wasn't exactly sure what that was going to look like in college. And when I arrived on campus, some of the older guys on the basketball team were very serious about their faith. They were involved in Christian fellowship group on campus, and right away they kind of brought me under their wing and began to mentor me and disciple me. And then throughout my own college experience, I just had this remarkable opportunity of great friends, a good academic experience, athletic experience, but it really had a lot to do with this Christian college community that surrounded me during the years. And so what motivates me a lot with the CTI is to help paint a picture for what that might look like in the life of students heading off to college this fall.
You know, I would think that you know, probably most Christian students would say as they you know, head off to college, university, that you know, they want to live out their faith on campus in some way, but maybe they just haven't thought about it, what that really looks like. Is that the case? I mean, we're sort of just kind of going into it because we're so busy thinking about, well, what about the academics or the finances or relationships, and we don't really maybe think about the faith aspect so much.
Yeah, for many people, college has simply become the assumed next step for life after high school. You know, it's what everybody is supposed to do. And so a lot of the counsel you might receive from high school guidance counselors or even parents or friends is kind of this one track. This is what life is supposed to look like. You're supposed to do well in high school so that you can do well on a test, so that you can get into a good school, so that you can get a degree. You know, those are kind of the tracks that a lot of people are on. And while that's important, and I don't want to detract, you know, take away from the importance of asking those practical questions, I have found that many students haven't taken some time to take a step back and ask some of the bigger questions, some of the bigger life questions that really do make a difference in how we navigate those college years. And one of those questions is certainly your faith and what do you believe? And will you begin to take ownership of your faith during this transition and during these formative years?
Ownership is probably the key word, isn't it? Because I mean, most students obviously have grown up you know, maybe not, but I would think I certainly did, you know, grew up in a home, a Christian environment. And so, it, you know, there wasn't really, you know, was it really my faith or was it just something that was part of the family?
Yeah, and that's part of my story, too. I mean, you can get very good as a young person in going through the motions, you know, raising your hand at the right time, saying Jesus if there's a question asked in Sunday school, those kinds of things. I mean, you can get very good at kind of going through these exterior motions. And a lot of your faith is from the outside in. You know, it's your parents taking you to this or people kind of influencing you to do certain things. But when you get to college, and I would say at a secular school and even a Christian school, it really is this time of taking ownership and taking that, you know, that step back and saying, why do I believe what I believe? And many students haven't really thought about that before they get to school.
And is that something where that happens at the college setting when that transition is made, or is it something where you would recommend we deal with that before we get there?
Yeah, I would certainly recommend dealing with it before students get there. And one of the simple things to do, and yet it's somewhat counterintuitive, is do you know the Fuller Youth Institute out at Fuller Theological Seminary?
Yeah.
They've been doing this study. It's been over 6 years now. But what they do is they track students from their senior year of high school to their senior year of college, especially students that are serious about their faith, they're committed to Christ, they're committed to the church. And then what they want to do is they want to follow them and continue to survey them through the college years. And then the seniors that are still serious about their faith, one of the things they look at was there anything about their youth group or family experience that shaped them in a certain way that they did go through this process of taking ownership of their faith during their college years. And one of the things that they found is that the seniors in high school who were part of a church or had families that created space where they could be open and honest about their doubts, if they had opportunities in their life to just express the doubts that they have or the questions that they have, and they were received in a way that they were affirmed, but then also, you know, they began this process of wrestling with those questions, that made the biggest difference. And so it's kind of counterintuitive. On one level, I think we can get really good at just spoon-feeding truth to young people. You know, this is what you should believe. But we don't often take the time to just take a step back and see if any of that truth is being digested or if any of it is really being heard. But the youth groups and the families that do have conversations with open-ended questions where students can ask questions, they can begin to articulate the faith in their own words using their own language, where those kinds of conversations are happening on a regular basis, those are the students that end up making a stronger spiritual transition, according to the study out at Fuller Seminary.
Well, I guess I was looking over the materials that, you know, we think a lot about in terms of college preparation. You know, there's the financial aid issue, there's academics, relationships, all those kind of things, and think, well, what does it mean to be spiritually prepared for college? And wanted to ask you, you know, should churches be offering a theological version of the ACT or the SAT, or is that simply the just sort of cramming more information into them?
You know, that's a really good you're giving me ideas for articles and maybe books, but yeah, that's a really good question, a good concept. One of the things that we would want to once again just have students think about is life as a disciple of Jesus means that we're a student of Jesus. And so we're lifelong learners. And so if we can begin to instill in young people this passion of asking good questions, of being attentive to good learning, of finding mentors that can help us wrestle with questions, if that can be a part of what that test might look like, you know, do you have those kinds of relationships in place? I think that would be a good marker. But the other thing that somewhat concerns me, and I think you make a great point of suggesting tests or some kind of assessment, would be biblical literacy. You know, I've just been noticing more and more students. I've been doing ministry since maybe close to 15 years now, and I've been doing this more intentionally since 2005. And I've just noticed fewer and fewer students kind of grasp and understand some of the basics of the biblical story. And so if we're going to talk about, you know, being shaped by the biblical story, if we're going to talk about understanding our place within the biblical story, we still need to do a lot of work of just helping students understand the biblical story. You know, I've been doing a little assessment when I go and speak in camps and if I'm with students for a number of days, and just at the beginning before I do biblical worldview stuff and biblical story stuff, I'll just ask 10 kind of simple questions about the Bible to see where students are coming from. And it's just been amazing to me, just some of the basic elements of the biblical story that students aren't grasping.
We'll talk a little bit more about that, how that impacts our students when they head off to college. We're getting some perspective today on the college transition and talking with Derek Mellaby, who is the director of the College Transition Initiative. It's a resource from the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. And he is also author of a couple books, including Make College Count, A Faithful Guide to Life and Learning. And by the way, we've got an opportunity for you, if you have a college student in your family or circle of friends that you know is heading off this fall, we'd love to be able to pray for them. You want to just drop us a note or give us a call and let us know the name. We'll take a moment to do that here at the end of the show. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. And more with Derek Mellaby in just a moment.
I very much don't want to display hypocritical behavior of just going to church and following religion, when instead it should be about being the church and following a relationship with Christ. Hey, this is Debbie Griffith with Everyday Matters. Religious people are people who are quick to point out, you're not doing it right. You should and should not be doing this. These are people who busy themselves with being right rather than doing right, and they can't confess their own sins because they're too busy confessing yours. Throughout the Bible, Jesus shows his anger most when he's dealing with the religious. But wait, let me confess. I, too, have been a Pharisee and completely ignored Matthew 7:5, which tells me to get the log out of my own eye first so I can see clearly to do surgery on my sister's eye. Who am I to point out someone else's gunk sin? Pray God's mercy and grace over someone, and then let God be God. He's the judge. We need his mercy and grace just as much as anybody else every day. For more encouragement, visit DebbieGriffith.com.
Talking about the adventure of heading off to college or university for the first time and that transition. And we're talking about why it's so important to be prepared and to ask some of the big questions about the kind of person we want to be and why we're going to college, what do we believe, and who we're going to surround ourselves with. We're going to kind of go through some of those questions today as we continue our discussion with Derek Mellaby, who's director of the College Transition Initiative. And has authored the book called Making College Count, A Faithful Guide to Life and Learning. He's been involved in the youth ministry for a number of years. Our phone number, by the way, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 877-933-2484. You can always go on Facebook, Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem. Or if it's more convenient to drop us an email, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and there's click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's a link there, and you can drop us a question or note. Grace reminds us we have a couple of resources that we'll do a little drawing for at the end of the hour. It might be a great gift you could give to someone in your family or in your church who's heading off. It's the Ignite Bible for Teens and a couple copies of that. So something specifically geared for teens and studying God's words. We've been talking a little bit about Bible literacy or illiteracy. Derek, I'm interested to know, you talked about, you know, been in ministry for, you know, 15 years or so working with youth. I would assume that things are maybe a little different in terms of formation, some of the challenges that students are facing as they head to a college or university campus today than they were 15 years ago.
Yeah, and one of the things that one of the biggest differences that I've noticed since I started doing more intentional research and writing and speaking about these issues in 2005, since 2005, one of the biggest differences is when I would go and speak at churches and schools and things, and I would give a talk about how to make the most of college, to wrestle with these questions before you head off to college and those kinds of things. One of the very first questions during the Q&A session would always be something about, should I send my son or daughter to a secular school, or should we definitely send our son or daughter to a Christian school? And I hardly ever get that question anymore. And I understand why it was asked then. And, you know, this is a major decision and there's kind of a protection mentality. I think that can be good to some degree. But, you know, parents were just concerned about the influences and temptations that students might find at a secular school. And then they wanted to, they assumed that those things wouldn't be a part of a Christian education. And to a large degree, that's true. But what's interesting is probably since 2008, from the turn of the economy, is I just don't get that question anymore. A lot of the first questions I get are, does everybody have to go to college? How are we going to pay for college? Is college worth it? Those are the kinds of questions. And I would say that students, this may not seem like a spiritual issue on the surface, but underneath, that has it's being spiritual directive. What I mean is people are – it's really kind of the economy and worth that's really guiding the college decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of questions about how are we going to pay for this? What kind of things should I study? It's very job-centered as we make decisions about these formative years.
Well, let me ask you that, maybe just to jump in and say, you know, if those are the questions you're getting, how do you typically respond about, you know, should we even be thinking about college?
Well, one of the things, you know, certainly we want to be wise, and debt is a major problem. I mean, debt is, Jesus talks about debt a lot because it's a spiritual issue. It's not just a financial issue, but it can lead to all kinds of spiritual problems. And so, yeah, I think we need to be very wise in the kinds of decisions that we make, in the kinds of degrees that we pursue, and whether or not they're worth it, and what the job prospects are. At the same time, though, I think we have to say, as followers of Jesus, what do we value? What motivates us? What kind of people do we want to be in this world? How will we be salt and light? And when we're motivated by those kinds of questions, debt could be good, depending on the kinds of colleges you go to. But also just this general sense that these years aren't just about training for a vocation, but they are about developing a character. They are about being more intentional about following Jesus. You know, one writer puts it like this. He says that college is a calling to prepare for further calling. And that's the vision that I try to put before students.
I would think, you know, maybe there are questions about, you know, issues of relationships and maybe, you know, substances, that sort of thing, too. I mean, there's plenty of opportunities to get into relationships and to be, you know, drinking or whatever it is. I mean, certainly in university campuses, it seems like the statistics are pretty sobering, I guess, to use that same word when it comes to, you know, those kinds of things on campus. You get into that as well?
Yeah, those are some of the things I talk about. One of the things I'm pretty intentional about is I talk about sex, relationships, and drinking at the end on purpose. A lot of people that come to a seminar like mine, especially in a church setting, they assume what I'm going to do is talk about those things first, and then I'm going to tell them not to do those things. You know, what I try to do is make a case for, if we're going to be serious about the biblical story, if the biblical story is going to be the story that shapes us, if we're going to be serious about our calling to follow Jesus, then what difference would that make on the college campus? And I try to cast this vision that college, it's not just about a degree to get a job, but it's about developing your mind and discovering your gifts and discerning your callings in the world. And what I hope happens is as I present that vision, then some of these things just hopefully aren't as enticing, or they're not as they'll see that that doesn't – drinking and hooking up, that doesn't have to be part of their college story. But I do address them. There's certainly things we need to pay attention to.
Mm. Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, we think, I think, about the 18 to 25-year-olds in the formative years. I mean, it's sometimes kind of hard to actually sort of wrestle through some of that, isn't it, about, well, what is my purpose and vision and how do I see that? I mean, maybe we even just need some – clues on the way to actually process that, how to get started in that.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that's where mentors and Christian community play such a vital role during these formative years. But the reality of those, too, that it's not necessarily whether or not you're going to wrestle with these questions. It's basically you're going to be shaped during these years for better or for worse. And one of the best ways to make sure it's kind of for the better is to see what the most important questions are during this time and to take some time to just engage in that wrestling match. Because the reality is, if you don't take some time to wrestle with those questions that you mentioned earlier before you go to college, people are there ready to answer those questions for you when you arrive on campus.
Derek, we've got a moment here with a break coming up. I'm just saying this might be a good time to mention a website or, you know, some of the resources you have available. Why don't you just do that here before we come back and talk some more?
Sure. The Center for Parent Youth Understanding is found at www.cpyu.org. That's the main organization I work for. And then my work within that organization, the College Transition Initiative, is www.collegetransitioninitiative.com. You can find it at CPYU as well.
Okay. CPYU.org is sort of the parent ministry, and then the College Transition Initiative, collegetransitioninitiative.com. We'll get you there. Derek Mellaby is director of the College Transition Initiative. We're talking about some of those transition points. Get into that a little bit more and wrestle through some more of those important questions as we look at how can we allow God to use us on campus and help shape us and prepare us for develop our character for further calling and development. We'll get to that in just a moment. Derek Mellaby joining us today on Connecting Faith. Our phone number is 877-933-2484. Or online, it's myfaithradio.com. And then click on the Connecting Faith show page. And we'll talk more to Derek Mellaby in just a moment. By the way, we do have some copies of the Ignite Bible for Teens available, too. We'll do a drawing for that here at the end of the show. Past the hour, and talking today with Derek Mellaby, who's been directing the College Transition Initiative, a resource from the Center for Parent Youth Understanding since it began back in 2005. Their goal to create space for students, parents, and youth workers to wrestle with deeper questions regarding higher education. And we've been talking about some of those questions and realize that, you know, this is an important season in a young person's life. And we hear the word transition. And maybe we just need to define that a little bit more. But, Derek, we do hear oftentimes, and we've heard statistics, that, you know, those first few days of heading off to a college or university can sometimes be kind of the perfect storm of concerns. You alluded to earlier, say, you know, if you don't really have a good sense of your purpose and vision, that there are people on campus that are more than willing to give you one to shape you. So talk a little bit about why these first few days in transition are so critical.
Yeah, I'll probably best do that by telling a story. A few years ago, I had a conversation with someone that changed my life. And I know that can be a trite phrase. We overuse that all the time. You know, I think Chick-fil-A changed my life. But this conversation I had with this student, it really did. It rarely does a day go by that I don't think more about this conversation that I had. I was speaking at a college not far from the office here, and when I was finished speaking, a student, I could tell he stayed off to the side, and he wanted to talk to me. And when all the students were away, he came over, and he asked if we could grab coffee. Now, this student's name was Yami, and Yami was from Nigeria. In fact, just at the top of the hour on your program, I heard a news story about the persecution of the church in Nigeria. Now, this was a few years ago, and the same kinds of things were going on, the persecution of the church in Nigeria, where many people were coming to faith in Jesus, and they were being killed the same day. And here was a student who was from that part of the world, and he wanted to talk to me. And I was pretty excited to have this opportunity to talk to him. And we sat down with coffee, and I tried to ask this really profound question to get us going, and I thought this was a really good question. I said, Yami, it's pretty easy to be a Christian in America, isn't it? It's pretty easy to be a Christian in America, isn't it? And I'll never forget what he said. He looked me right in the eye, and in a cool African accent that I wish I could do, he said, Derek, being a Christian in America is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And for about 3 hours, we just sat there, and he unpacked what he meant by that. One of the things he said early on was, you know, being a follower of Jesus on a college campus, he said it's so hard because he's a part of this culture where not only is everything permissible, but everything is accessible. He said, you know how hard that is for a young person who's trying to be faithful, just the challenges and temptations that he faces on a daily basis. And so we went on to unpack some of those things too. But then he said this. He said, the thing I need the most, the thing that will help me the most during this time is a community. He said, it's one of the biggest. He said, I've been in college for a couple of years. I'm looking for Christian community, and I can't find it. He says, there's this thing that goes on kind of in American Christianity. I thought this was really insightful. He said, it seems to me that a lot of faith in America is kind of an individual faith between you and Jesus, and you make a commitment to Jesus, you come to faith, you become a follower of Christ, and then maybe you get involved in community. You know, you go to church and maybe in a small group. But he said in Nigeria, community is the bedrock of the faith. It's a communal conversion. In fact, it's certainly individual in the sense that you make a decision, but you're transferring this tribe to this tribe, this community that was your community and now this community, and you can't begin to navigate faithfully in any meaningful way without that community around you. And so, you know, we just continued to talk about that, and that was very helpful to me just to see, number one, the challenges and temptations that students do face every day. I think maybe we take for granted some of the ways that our faith can be challenged has become so normalized that we don't even recognize it as temptations anymore. But also, you know, Yami just helped me to see the value and importance and necessity of community during these formative years. And like you said, the first couple weeks are critical to that. You know, to be going to college intentionally seeking Christian community is crucial, but you can begin to make those kinds of connections before you go to college. I mean, those can be the kinds of things that drive your college decision. You can think, if I'm going to be faithful to Jesus during these years, I'm going to need a good community around me. These are the kinds of questions I should be asking when I'm thinking about which school or where I should study. These are the kinds of connections I can make even before I arrive on campus by looking at websites, by talking to people in my congregation, by seeing what kind of churches are in that area. And so that conversation with Yami really has been formative in my own outlook on this issue.
Well, I think we all could use some help in terms of community, because I think, as you describe, we are pretty individualistic in our faith. But I'm wondering, you know, it seems like we think, well, community is just, we do social community now. So we have Facebook. But so what does that look like in terms of getting into community on campus for a student maybe heading off this fall, or parents concerned about them? Is it a matter of just plugging into a church close to campus, or what do you recommend?
Well, one of the things is just to find out what is available around the school where you're going to. So whenever you're setting up a college visit or looking at colleges on websites, you can find those things. They'll, even at a secular school, they'll have some kind of student organizations, and then they'll have listed different spiritual opportunities, and that could be a list of churches. At CPYU's website, if you go to cpyu.org/collegegroups, what I've done is I've listed all the different kind of national college ministries that I know of, and it tells you a little bit about them. You can click on them and see if they're available at the campuses where you're considering. There's also contact information for maybe churches in the area. You can contact pastors. Usually will have someone that works with young adults or look for churches that do. On college visits, you can find out if there are Christian groups and then get a sense. Maybe you can visit with one or email some. Student leader contact information is usually available. And so just to be thinking, make it known to your congregation where you're going, and get a database going at your church where members of the congregation have gone. Maybe they live there, or maybe they know people that have gone there, and they would have a sense of the churches and Christian community options that are available when they get there.
And then to just really commit to that, right? That you're going to do, you're going to walk your faith journey in community.
Yeah, and an easy thing to do too is, I know youth groups have these College Connections nights where they'll just take a youth group night, invite the parents or even just with the students. You'll actually sit down with a computer, you'll visit the websites, you'll find who's there, you'll make the phone call or at least send an email that night kind of before you go. And if you're connected to a denomination, you'd be surprised by how many resources are available for helping students to stay connected during the college years. And it's a simple thing that churches can do too, is if you put in front of the congregation this idea that part of your family has gone away for a little while, but they'll probably return, or they're going to be returning on breaks, and so we need to be praying for them and sending them things and getting updates on how they're doing and their calling, just like we do with any missionary who's sent, then it kind of creates a culture within your congregation to be aware of where people are going, how it's going, ways that we can be praying for them while they're away, things that they might need. Those kinds of things.
Just even having that mindset that, you know, we're sending these students out and they're going out as missionaries in many respects. And I'm thinking that, you know, maybe it's always been the case, but that students, you know, want to live a life of influence, it seems like. So talk a little bit about how we can help our students determine the kind of influence that they're going to have, the kind of the way that they interact with the world in which they're moving into.
Yeah, and this gets back to some of my, I call the 3D approach to college. And this is what I try to put in front of students. And I would say that this is the thing that when I give the seminar, students are most intrigued by, they're most energized by. And it's this idea that college isn't just get a degree, get through it to get a job. But it is about, first and foremost, developing your mind. You know, that Jesus said we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. So what does it mean to take these 4 years to just grow in knowledge, to just learn more things about God's creation, to learn more, to grow in knowledge so that we grow in wisdom? You know, Walker Percy, the famous Southern novelist, he said it's possible to get all A's but flunk life. So how can we make sure that we go through college coming out the other side, not with a degree, but wiser people? And we need wiser people in this world. And so I give some pointers on how to engage their studies and think through things more deeply, because they have a great opportunity. You know, if you ask anybody 20 years removed from college, if they could do it all over again, many of them will say, I wish I could take the learning more seriously. And I think as followers of Christ, we just have a great opportunity to be a witness to Jesus in the way that we approach academics. So the first thing is developing your mind. But the second thing is discovering our gifts. You know, the beauty of the biblical story is not only are we called out of that world story into his story, history, the true story of the world. Not only are we called out of that world story into the biblical story, but we're given a role to play within that biblical story, and then God gives us gifts to play our role well. And college can be about thinking more deeply about the gifts you've been given. You know, what is your role in the biblical story? How can you develop your mind in a way that leads to wisdom so that you can be used in God's story? And then finally, it's about developing your mind. It's about discovering your gifts. It's also about discerning your callings. You know, I mentioned earlier that college is a calling to prepare for further calling, that when we come out the other side, developing our mind and discovering our gifts, then we have more to be Christian with. And every academic major, every academic discipline can equip us to be of better service to our neighbors. And so that's really the vision. We love God and we love our neighbors, and that has implications during these college years to take them seriously so that we come out the other side more to serve God, more to love God and love our neighbors with.
And I think even as we've kind of talked about, if we haven't developed our character, then the activities that we're doing, whatever they are, you know, aren't going to be coming out of strength or out of, you know, God's power at work with us. It's just simply sort of our own doing.
Yeah, that's true. That's the love God piece of love your neighbor, certainly.
Yeah. Talking with Derek Mellaby. Derek has been doing seminars and providing resources for students, for parents, for youth workers to wrestle with some of the deeper questions regarding higher education. It's part of his role as director of the College Transition Initiative. It is a resource from the Center for Parent and Youth Understanding. CPYU.org is the overall website, or you can go to collegetransitioninitiative.com. And we're going to talk more with Derek in just a moment as we work through some of these issues of this time is transition. And we'll get some perspective, some maybe encouragement, how, you know, we as members of the community, of the faith community that have college students heading out from our churches or neighborhoods or families, how we can be effectively encouraging and guiding, directing them, mentoring them. We'll get to that more in just a moment. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. I mentioned that if you have a college student that you know of that's heading out, we'd love to just collect the names here, and we can pray for them as we go along. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.
What are you willing to do to go beyond the call? This is Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global. Tucked away in the mountains of Peru is a mission hospital, which ministers to neighboring Quechua villages. Run by two doctors, this hospital serves as a beacon of hope to the area. And with over 75,000 patients a year, they stay pretty busy. But they had one problem. They only received a few hours of low-quality water a day from the town system. And quite often, they received patients dealing with stomach parasites from the drinking water. So they asked for help of HCJB Global missionary Bruce Ridbeck. After an evaluation of the water system, he realized that he could provide the hospital and the town with clean water 24/7. Now, the hospital can provide all their patients with clean water that won't make them sick. Get involved in community and go beyond the call. And then visit us online at hcjb.org.
Past the hour, and talking today with Derek Mellaby, director of the College Transition Initiative. It's a resource from the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. And Derek has written a couple books, including Make College Count, A Faithful Guide to Life and Learning. It came out from Baker here a couple years ago. Talking about the students, simply assume the next step after high school is college, time to have fun before entering the real world. And we're suggesting that there's some more to it than that. And Derek, I guess we do. Wonder sometimes about what's going on the secular campuses. You know, are there some specific things, though, that we as Christians we ought to be aware of when we're entering into this environment, and maybe the advice that you give as students and parents are maybe concerned about that?
You mean as far as temptation?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Yeah, just I think kind of the atmosphere or the worldview. Maybe let's put it that way. How do we kind of buttress our worldview in light of our lack of biblical literacy in today's climate?
Yeah, well, certainly, and I don't want to minimize it. You know, I said earlier I try to cast a vision, and hopefully some of these things won't be as tempting. And certainly reality is that these things are so tempting. I mean, one of the reasons why you referred to it earlier as a perfect storm when students head off to college is, I mean, you can think about this new experience that students are about to have. They work so hard to get to this point, and now they're heading off to college. They have this opportunity to forge a new identity. You know, they don't have some of the background or maybe even some of the baggage that they used to have as far as their story, but they get to college, and now they have an opportunity to be a new person. They want to make new friends, and that's certainly a good thing. You certainly want to have friends. I've talked about the value of community, but this idea of kind of being a new person and wanting to be liked and have friends can come together in some seriously dangerous or scary ways. The other thing is certainly, as I mentioned with the Yami story earlier, you know, everything is accessible and everything does seem to be permissible. And then, as I mentioned before, too, these cultural scripts that we have in life that kind of often dictate the way we think life should go. And so there's certainly this one cultural script that says college is about Animal House. You know, college is this time to do whatever you want before you enter the real world. And like I've been trying to make a case for, is that these formative years between 18 and 25, they couldn't be more real. I mean, these are maybe the most formative years in a person's life. But all of those things do come together in this perfect storm. And students are faced with these things maybe on their own for the first time, and it is challenging. One of the things I say is, you know, we would be naive if we didn't point those things out or at least begin to have honest conversations about them. I mean, we need to – there's a study that just came out a few weeks ago that just showed that parents that have just a conversation with their son or daughter about alcohol, they just talk about it, like, what are your expectations? What do you think you'll get involved in? That can make a huge difference, just opening the door to that conversation that we might miss, but it makes a big difference. But just having opportunities to come together to have these deeper conversations about what's ahead. Another study that was fascinating to me in this regard too. So I referred to the drinking study, Have a Conversation, that's important. Another study was a really important book done by a sociologist, and the book is called Sex and the Soul. And what this sociologist did is she went around to all the college campuses and she talked to students who were involved in the hookup culture, which is basically promiscuous sexual activity. And she wanted to know kind of what these students' life experiences were like. And she found two things that were surprising to me. One of the things she found is the majority of students, and I'm talking 80% or more of the students who are involved in that kind of hookup culture, wanted nothing to do with it. It had left them empty and hurt, and they wished they weren't a part of it. And yet they said that they couldn't imagine relationships looking any other way. They didn't have any other vision for what a relationship with the opposite sex would look like. And she talked about how they had it backwards, that what students craved was intimacy, but they weren't exactly sure how to get it. And so what they did is they had physical activity, hoping that intimacy would lead to true intimacy. And she had these fascinating conversations with students where she'd sit down and she'd say to a female student something like, tell me about the best night of your life with the opposite sex. And the student would sit there and say, you know, it was this one time when this student took me out to coffee, this boy. We went out to coffee and we talked, and then we walked around campus, and we ended up kind of walking all through campus just talking about life and what we'd hoped. And she asked the same thing of male students, the same thing. She said, tell me about the best night of your life with somebody of the opposite sex. And he said, oh, it was this one time I did an old-fashioned date when I went to a girl's room and I picked her up, and then we went to a movie and we had dinner and then we had coffee and we sat in the football field bleachers and talked about our lives and where we hope to go. And once again, she just pointed out that what students crave is intimacy, but they're not exactly sure how to get it. And I think that's really affirming, and students need to hear stories like that, because oftentimes we think about a biblical picture of relationships, a biblical picture of sexuality as somehow less than what it could be. And yet this person's research in this book, Sex and the Soul, Oxford University Press, just points out that really the biblical narrative is what students crave. And it's fascinating that the other major finding of this study, the first one was that students don't really want to be a part of this culture. But the second thing she found is she said if there's one people group in this country that really have this narrative, the story that students need the most, she said it's evangelical Christians. And she went on to talk about why evangelical Christianity, she's not an evangelical Christian herself, why they have what students need. First, they have a gospel of grace and forgiveness. But second, they have a gospel, they have a story that says true intimacy leads to physical intimacy. And she says, here's the problem. People within the evangelical community don't know how to talk about it. And they have people within their community, they have all kinds of questions, all kinds of concerns, but they think it's the last place they could actually talk about these things. That was her kind of insight from the book. So all of that to say that, yes, there's challenges and temptations, but I think a biblical understanding of the world, students need to know that it's being affirmed even by the research that's being done with these students, but also it's the way God has wired us to live, and we will thrive when we're living within that biblical story.
You know, Derek, great insight. I appreciate that. And I was just thinking here, we've got, you know, a few minutes left, that you talked about a cultural script and I've sort of alluded to, you know, sometimes maybe even us as parents, we send our kids off, say, well, it's just go get a good job. And that's what this is all about. What word would you say to parents, maybe in terms of some of the scripts that we've passed on to our kids about, you know, maybe missing the opportunity for them to really discover their gifts and their passions and learn about how God has created them. What would you recommend to us as parents to encourage our students?
The first thing I would say, and I know I keep saying the same thing, but is just to talk about these things, to have open conversations. It surprises me when I'm going around and I give seminars, and one of the most important thing about my seminar, I think, is that students and parents are together, that they're having a discipleship opportunity together. That was very intentional from the beginning when I started doing this, that I just maybe intuitively sensed that if you're going to have a meaningful conversation about life after high school, faith after high school, that parents and students need to engage in that. And if I try to be a catalyst for those conversations and, you know, a fruitful seminar for me is if a student or parent comes back and they say, you know, I really need to talk to my mom or dad about this, but I wasn't sure how to bring it up. And that's what I try to do. And so just having those conversations are just maybe even more valuable than, it's an easy thing, but they're more valuable than we might realize. I'll refer to another thing, and sorry to keep doing this, but I read a journal article recently, an admissions counselor at University of Pennsylvania who had been doing admissions counseling for 30 plus years. He talked about a trend he had noticed, and it was this. A student would come, or a parent would come into his office, and he'd ask the parent, why do you want your son or daughter to go to University of Pennsylvania? And the parents would have this long list of reasons. They're very articulate. And then the admissions counselor would say, did you ever say that to your son or daughter? And they said, no, not really. And then they'd bring the son or daughter, the potential student, and say, why do you want to go to the University of Pennsylvania? Well, first he said, one of the things he's noticed is students, fewer and fewer students each year can articulate reasons for going to college, which is a whole other hour on this program. But he would say, why do you want to go? But the students that could identify some real concrete reasons for going, he would say, have you ever said that to your parents? And they would say, no, not really. And one of the things he just noticed is that parents and students seem to be talking past each other if they're talking to each other at all, that parents have their own kind of expectations and desires for their son or daughter, but they haven't really intentionally articulated them. And students are feeling that pressure, maybe the unknown, or feeling what it might be, and they haven't had a safe place to kind of articulate that back to their parents. And so just creating some space to even begin there, to say, my college will be a success if, what do you hope is your college experience is like? If you're going to take your faith seriously during the university years, what do you think the implications for that will be? And to just listen to the son or daughter. And then for the son or daughter to have space to ask those same questions back. Practically speaking, about what will my life look like as I'm being parented as a college student, those are really important questions. But then bigger questions too, like what are your hopes for me? How can I honor you during these years? I mean, they don't have to look, the language doesn't have to be like that, but that that space for that kind of conversation, I think, is vital.
Well, it's certainly not too late to have those conversations, right? I mean, the school hasn't started yet, so there's still time.
Oh, certainly. And during school and always. Yeah.
Good insight, Derek. Mention the websites again, just some of the resources available that people will find there.
Sure. CPYU.org and collegetransitioninitiative.com.
And a variety of resources available just to help in really all aspects of this transition, really asking some of the bigger questions about why am I going to college? What kind of person do I want to be? How do I want my life to influence others, community, what do I believe, all those kinds of things available at those sites. Derek Mellaby directs the College Transition Initiative. It's part of the Center for Parent-Youth Understanding, and you can find out more at cpyu.org. He's written a book called Make College Count, A Faithful Guide to Life and Learning. And Derek, we've enjoyed the conversation today. Thank you for helping us ask some of the questions and providing some answers as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. You may want to pass this on to a friend. You can always do that. All our podcasts are shareable. You can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. By the way, there is a survey there as well. Take that when you're there. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about health care and get an update with Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical Association. I've been talking with him for a while. Looking forward to getting into that tomorrow on Connecting Faith.